Yeah, thanks, Ron. That was lovely. That was really nice to hear that. And thanks to Adam for asking me to come this evening, and everyone who's here, and Dan for hosting the meeting and giving me the warning when it comes up, because it'll come up fast. I know it does. I recently got asked to do another share, funnily enough, and it flew by. Didn't really feel like doing that share, but I was so glad that it did. And it was sort of the same as there, been feeling a bit off today, because when I'm doing a share, I want to. As well, a main share. I want to shine the light about how amazing recovery is, and it is. But sometimes when I'm feeling a bit off, it's hard to think about it. But I don't really think about what to say these days. This is an experience, strength, and hope share, from what I've been told from Adam. So it's gonna be easy, because like me shared the other day, it's just the truth's just gonna flow out. I'm gonna do my best, and today, my best is good enough. It never used to be. It never used to be, but today it is. So I'm going to try and in 20 minutes say what it was like, what it did, and what it was like now. I very rarely go back these days, Dan, to what it was like. I very rarely go back, even in my share the other day. I didn't really touch on it that much, but as this is an experience, strength, and hope share, I'll have a little look back. I don't wish to close the door on it or regret the past. I see it all as an asset. I really do. But for the first time in my life, this program, I mean, after raising a family, yet, or beginning to raise a family, and having so much going for me, I was just never in the present moment, even at the birth of my kids, which my twin girls actually missed because I was gambling. I left the hospital as my wife was in labour, because I'd been told there was like at least 12 hours to go. I should have just stayed for the 12 hours. That's what I'd do today. I'd just be there. But back then, I was selfish and self-centred to the core. I didn't know it, but I was selfish and self-centred to the core. And I had this disease, this compulsion to gamble, that was just far more powerful than I was ever going to be alone. I started gambling at a very young age. I mean, my life has been gambling, and it wasn't always with money. I gambled. I mean, you talked there about trying not to say stuff that might get you locked up. I'm going to have to eradicate about 50% of my life there before coming into GA, because I gambled with my liberty. I really did. I gambled with my time. I gambled with my money. I gambled with my relationship with me beautiful wife that I've got now. I just I, everything was a bet to me. Everything. Me, it was like I had to have something in the game, no matter what it was. And that started at a very young age. Of like, my mum tells me stories. She said you were just a you were a gambler. Not she didn't call me a risk taker. I used to like climb on furniture as a toddler, climb up these like Welsh dresses and things, and like just throw myself down flights of stairs, like trying to jump from the top of a flight of stairs in a house to the bottom, and it didn't matter how much I got hurt, I just carry on doing it. I sort of touched on that in my share the other day about this, the insanity of the guy who runs in front of traffic, and he gets hurt more and more and more, and how that is insane. That's how I live my life from such a very young age. And once money got involved, once I started becoming aware and conscious of money, in like, it was before teenage years, I'd say it's got to be around about 9, 10, 11, around that time, maybe even earlier. Like, I couldn't even play board games. I couldn't play board games when I came into GA, and because of this, like, this real need to win. Do you know what I mean? This need to win. When the reflection was getting read there, I read that earlier on today, and those words, what was it? Terrified isolation, was it? Is that what it said? Terrified. Eventually, even the game betrayed me, and I was left in terrified isolation. That really took me back to 5 years ago. Well, just under 5 years ago, when I made the phone call to Gamblers Anonymous after a lifetime of gambling. But I found like I was throwing coins up against walls with my mates in school, and getting in fist fights over that. Then I was on the slot machines, and I'd have like a group of people around me, all friends, who'd be waiting to go somewhere. We'd be like teenage years now, and I'd just be stuck to this slot machine, just putting money in. I mean, the jackpot would be X amount, and I'd beat 10 times the jackpot and still putting money in it, still putting money in it. And one by one, the people around me would be leaving, even back then, to go and do their own thing. And there'd usually just be one who would like hold on to the bitter end with me. And then even they'd be gone, I'd just be stood there on my own. And that was just, when I look over the years, that was a constant in my life, that of being in places and with people and then being totally on my own and continuing to gamble, whether it was in a casino, whether it was in a bookies, whether it was like playing card games in people's houses and things like that, or whether it was just like really just when it got towards the end where I was just sat alone in my house just playing online casinos. That's when the terrified isolation really did kick in. But I mean, I've got 30 years of stories of, I never won. I mean, I didn't always lose, but I never really won, because even when I won, and I heard this said, I heard this, I thought I was the only person who did this when I came in, and I've heard it said so much that even when I won, it was just, I was never going to do anything else with it apart from gamble. It was just going to go back into gambling. And don't get me wrong, I can look back on pictures and videos and have conversations with people of my life, and I've had a really, really good life. I have. I've been really blessed. But this has always been going on, and the experiences that it had, like this version of me, I say this version, this the person who stands before you today, who is no longer like restless, irritable, discontent, the person who stands before you today, who isn't sleepwalking through life anymore, the person who stands before you today, who is awake and present a lot of the time. I can still switch off and go back into unconscious mode. I'm not there 24/7, but it's just a far cry from the person who did experience this life before GA, because I didn't really experience it. I was just always like either regretting something I did recently or even years ago, like playing over in my mind constantly, or I was in some sort of anxious state about like some future events, some future worry that like that didn't ever really happen. It didn't ever really happen. I heard a guy say something along the lines of like, you could if you know your hand's going to be in a fire in 2 months' time, you can spend 2 months worrying about your hand being in a fire, but what you do when your hand's in the fire, just take it out. And that really hit me like early on in recovery, because I was like, that made sense, because everything I'd ever worried about, even the stuff that happened, like when I was actually in the situation, I would just find a way to get out of it. But it was the worry for me. It was the constant worrying. This program sort of told me that the problem is the way I think. The gambling wasn't the problem. The problem was the way I think. The problem was the basically the this big gaping hole in my chest. The spiritual malady coupled with like a longing for something else. But the solution is in the 12 steps. I talk about this life before GA, and I'd materialistically and what's the word for like relationships and things like that, I did seem to have a lot. But I didn't experience it, and the words terrified isolation there, I remember. So I'm sat outside, I've got the kids inside the house at the minute, I've got the friends over, my wife's there, and so I thought I'll come out to the car and I'll get a bit of peace while I share, rather than it being a bit chaotic. But I'm in the same place, I've got the same people around me, I've got the same house. I've got a business that's doing well. But 5 years ago, when I made the phone call to GA, I was honestly on the verge of ending it all. I don't think I had the courage to do it, if I'm being totally honest, but I was lying upstairs in bed crying like a baby that needed its bottle, like just broken. I was just licked. I was finished. I was done. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified of where this had took me. For the previous few decades, I actually used to feed off the fact that I was the crazy gambler aren't my mates. My ego loved it. Oh, you're mad, you aren't you? Yeah, I'm nuts, aren't I? Because in the back of my mind, I always felt like I had time on my hands, time on my side to get to this place of happiness that I thought was somewhere else apart from now. It was always in the future. Like I moved out of my mum's house with me with my now wife when we were 27, and we had like a little one bedroom flat, and then I bought a house that was run down and needed a load of work doing, so it took me about 3 years. But in my mind, them 3 years, it was like as soon as I get into that house, I'm gonna be there, I'm gonna be happy. And I got into the house and I just wasn't. And then we had our first child in the flat, and then we had the twins on the way, and I was like, oh, they're gonna complete the family. I'm gonna finally find the and I didn't say peace. That nearly slipped out my mouth, because I know that's what I wanted. I was searching for peace. I was searching for the first line. It's actually said in the first line of our prayer, serenity. Like the step nine promises say, we'll comprehend the word serenity. I didn't comprehend it. I didn't even know what serenity meant, if I'm being totally honest, when I first came in. I had to Google it. But that's what I was searching for. I was searching for God ultimately. But that was the only thing that was gonna get me this peace that I now feel today. Anyways, that's a bit of like the experience side. And then sort of came in. I'm terrified. I'm a week before my 40th birthday, and I'm like, I've lost everything again. Financially, I'm in tatters at this point, but spiritually and emotionally and whatever other words you can use to describe this internally, this I was just broken. I was gone. I was in the darkness, like the devil. He had hold of me, and he was ready to take me. And I was looking at my kids, and I was a failure. And they were just like they didn't know what I'd done, and they were smiling and playing, and I was just looking at them, thinking, these are just better off without me. I'm never ever going to be able to stop this. I've tried now for the previous 4 years before coming into GA. I genuinely tried to stop. For the previous 25 years before that, I hadn't. I just said, oh, I'm not doing that again after it. Like you do in a hangover, oh, my head's banging, I'm never drinking again. It was like, oh, I'm not doing that again. But I'd start that word, it can't explain any better for me. What I was doing was terrifying me, because it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the time was getting less and less and less. And this idea in my head of like peace and happiness and this life that I wanted being in the future, I was in the future now. I was nearly 40. It was meant to all be well done by now, and it wasn't. I was further away from it at that point than I'd ever been in my life. I'd been to hypnotherapy sessions to try and get hypnotized to release it from me. I'd swore on my kids' lives, my beautiful children inside the house. I swore on all the lives I would never gamble again. 9 months later, I'd done it again. Didn't know how I'd done it, but I'd done it again. I realize now it's a build-up. It's a build-up. It's a build-up. It's the little things that happen that I don't let go of. A little resentment here, a bit of fear here. Builds up, builds up, builds up. Coupled with the fact that I am totally and utterly powerless over gambling. I'm not only powerless over gambling when I place the bet, which is what I originally thought. I'm powerless over gambling when I try to stop, because I can't stay stopped. Willpower alone just wasn't doing it for me. So I made the phone call to Gamblers Anonymous. A guy who was still seeing now, Scottish guy, answered the phone, and he was just like, his confidence in what he was saying, just it had me. I just felt like I was in the right place. And I could start coming to meetings. It was in the pandemic. The online meetings were on, so I was finding it dead easy to go to meetings. I was doing a lot of service. I was going to three or four meetings a day. I realize now, looking back, and this is my experience, my strength, and my hope, guys. I can only share what's happened to me. I don't share or tell anyone else what to do. I'm not qualified to do that. But I got addicted to meetings, and I was just going to meetings, 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 meetings. And I was actually talking about how my life was changing, and I genuinely thought it was, but it wasn't. I look back now and it wasn't. It was getting worse, because I didn't have the gambling anymore. So it was coming out sideways in other areas. Like bits of anger was coming out. I've always been a bit of an angry person through what I realized now was just being very insecure and very fearful. And I'm quite I'm quite an imposing character to look at, but inside there was this lost little child, and I wouldn't ever let myself feel them feelings. So it came out as anger. It was the fight or flight that used to kick in. It was always the fight. And then anyway, 9 months again. It always used to get to around the 9 months mark before the GA phone call, and then 9 months again on the 5th of July, 2021. I woke up and I gambled again. And I was like, okay, you've tried it your way again, Ross. You've heard about the steps. You've heard about getting a sponsor. You didn't want to do that. You wanted to sort of sit on the edge, and it didn't work. So now you've got two roads before you now, Ross. And this is me speaking to myself. And I actually had this conversation with myself. And feel free to give me a wave when the time's up, because I do get lost in these shares. And I won't be offended at all if you do that. And I mean it, I won't. I then had two roads in front of me. I either go all in on GA and the steps, or I leave the program and go and live the life that I've always led. And going back out there, I'd had a glimpse of recovery at this point. Just a glimpse. I'd had a glimpse of it. And to go back out there after having a glimpse of recovery, it would have been too painful. I couldn't have done it. It would have always been with me. The what if, the what if, the what if you had stayed, Ross? What if you had stayed? So although I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, I was ready to really surrender and go, like what I've been doing isn't doing it. And I asked my now sponsor to sponsor me, guy from Liverpool. And he's been an amazing sponsor. And he said to me pretty much at the start, like, Ross, I'm going to shine a light. You're going to do the digging. He was basically telling me, I'm not giving you the answers. You can ask me all you want, but I can't give you them. You've got to find this yourself. It might be a long road, it might be a hard road, but if you do the work, you're going to find it. And the part of the process of me going through that with him, I actually got quite resentful towards him at one point and wanted to tell him to do one, because I was like, he's like just, and I'm so glad I never, because I had to get through all that. I had to get through all this blaming the world for my problems, pointing fingers at other people. Every time I've got a problem with anything, that's what it is now. It's my problem, and I've got to look within. I've got to use the tools of the program. That's what I did. I then went on the journey of the 12 steps, offering myself to something that I didn't understand. I had a real, real hang up on the word God when I came into this program, and now I just haven't. I don't know how I'd do it without God in my life now, because without me having the prayer and meditation side of this program, I'd still be totally lost, and I still do get lost if I don't do that side of it. I can still take my self-will back at any moment, and I do all the time. Do you know what I mean? And when I do, it's like I'm either going towards or walking with God, or I'm just not with him at all. It's not like there's sort of like it says in the book, half measures avail does nothing. I've got to really do this, but I've got to do it on a daily basis. So no matter how well I feel, and this is through my own shortcomings as well, like getting to a point where I thought I'd cracked it again, and I start getting a bit on my soapbox and like sort of getting a bit preachy, telling people what they do. I went through a stage of like really judging GA because I'd found the big book and like GA's wrong. And nah, that's not it, Ross. I'm 100% grateful to the Gamblers Anonymous program, for which I wouldn't have found recovery because I was here for gambling. I'm 100% grateful to everyone who stays in the rooms and gives shares, everyone who's come before me, because without all that, without this fellowship of people who give the time to this, I'd be lost. I'd still be lost. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, that's it. And yeah, so what I was just sort of trying to articulate there is like I'm at a point now where I fully get the importance of living one day at a time, one moment at a time, because it doesn't matter, and I said this a moment ago, and this is through my own shortcomings as well. It doesn't matter how well I am today, if I don't do what's suggested, like continue to watch for resentment and fear and selfish and dishonesty. Resentment and fear being the big ones, but resentment is like resentment. I can be walking with my higher power, and the world can seem a really, really beautiful place full of gratitude, and resentment can flip that in an instant. It can just flip it. It takes me away from it quicker than anything. And if I don't check that one resentment, it could be a tiny resentment. If I don't check it and let it go, it stays there and it pollutes the soul. Next minute, there's another one. And before I even know where I am, I'm out there and I'm causing chaos and killing myself. That's why I have to stick with the program. I'm long enough around to realize, and I will finish with this, that my way does not work. It doesn't. My little shortcuts, my little add-ons, it doesn't work. It's all written down beautifully. It's all written down perfectly. And if I just follow that simple set of suggestions, which is the 12 steps of recovery, I know that everything's going to be okay. The fear doesn't take over. The resentment doesn't take over. The selfishness doesn't take over. And the dishonesty doesn't take over. I want to thank everyone for being here. I'm Ross. I am a compulsive gambler, and I always will be. Thank you.
Wow, Ross. What an amazing share. I'm so, so happy that you were able to come and be of service and share with us today. I'm really very impressed. I wasn't able to hear absolutely all of it because I'm doing some things in the background as well, but I'm definitely going to listen to the recording. And I really, really, really thank you for being here and sharing with us. However, we do have just a little portion afterwards where we call it the questions and comments. So after such an amazing share, if somebody has a question, great opportunity to ask it here or a comment. So we have Richard M. first. And if anybody else, just please put up your hand. Thank you so much. Richard, please come on in and share with us.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Ross. Richard M., compulsive gambler, no gambling to report. And that was a good share. Like, I could relate to a lot of what has been said about the addiction, and how it doesn't matter. Even if you win, you're gonna keep continuing. And it was good to listen to this share. Like, thank you, Russ, again. And I have a question. Like, it looks like you, I won't say you got it, but you know how to do it. Okay, you know what to do. So my question is, where do you see yourself 20 years from now, recovery-wise? And I don't debate the fact that it's a one day at a time, but I think it's worth to ask this question because I wouldn't want to ask this question to myself. So I ask it to you. Thank you.
That's a hard question. I wouldn't have a clue what I've done in the next 20 years, but do you know what? It's a simple answer for me. It wouldn't matter. I'd say it wouldn't matter. Of course it would matter, but if I'd gambled again over the next 20 years, I know as long as I stuck with the program, that it would be okay. If I went out and gambled tomorrow and I came back in and shared about it and got back into the steps, then I just know this works. I've got 100% faith in this program. I haven't got 100% faith in myself because I get it wrong. I do get it wrong. today I love myself, and I just pray that I continue to love myself and continue to have this experience of life, because this is what I've always wanted. I didn't know this was what I wanted, but this is what I always wanted. And that's why I stick around, because it's there's nothing else out it, on the other side of a bet. There's nothing there no more. That's where the happiness used to lie, and it doesn't no more. I hope that answers it. I just have faith in the program. That's it. It's it works. It really, really works.
That was beautiful. Thank you both for the question and the answer. And Declan S, you're up next, please. Welcome,
Declan. Declan S, compulsive gambler, day 520. Ross, when I quit gambling, I relapsed a few times, and I was able to lie to myself, no problem. I would lie to myself and tell mistruths and just keep gambling. Finally, though, when my family confronted me, let me get rid of that. finally, when my family confronted me, I couldn't lie to them, and that's how I got my clean date. Can you talk about the very last step that led to you being able to stop?
Wow, you know what, Declan? I really appreciate that question because it's just jogged me memory. And I had exactly this could take a while. So I was in the front room there. I'll try and keep it brief, but I was in the front room of the house there. I'd gambled my entire life, but it'd always been my problem. I always found a way to get the money back. I realize now that it wasn't only my problem because the way I was treating everyone as a result of feeling broken inside, that was the real problem. But I tried to stop gambling, as I said in my share, and I'd actually got to the point where I'd said to my wife, listen, can you please keep an eye on me? If you see me sitting, this is when I got into the online stuff with my phone and stuff. And we were sitting in that front room there. It was about 12 at night, and we were having a drink together. And I was on my phone. We were doing a bit of work on the extension on the back of the house and like garden work and stuff like that. And I was sitting there, and she was on the other side of the room, and I was on the phone gambling. And she come and sat next to me, and I closed the screen down. I was like, "What are you doing?" Bear in mind, I'd asked her. I'd said, "Please, please, Chantelle, keep an eye on me. I'm gonna be like deceitful about this." And she came and sat by me. And I made her feel like shit. Sorry for swearing. I made her feel terrible. I said to her, "What are you doing? I'm trying to buy turf for the garden. What are you?" I was horrible to her. I made her feel like she was going insane. And I lost a fortune that night. And the next morning, I woke up and I told her. And I'll never forget it. And this was the catalyst of like, this was what made the call. And she just cried her eyes out. And I told her about big losses before this, and she'd always just put her arms around me and say, "Don't worry, Ross, we're going to get through this together." And she just cried her eyes out, and she said, "You just made me feel so bad last night." And that was it, Declan. I couldn't. The pain that was then in her eye, all the pain had been mine, or I believed it was until that point. And it was in her eyes, and oh, it killed me, mate. It really did. Thanks for the question, Declan. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Declan. Thank you, Ross. Okay, wow, there's still 50 individuals here today, and I'm so grateful for all of you. Rhonda, you're up next, followed by Frankie. Hi, Rhonda.
Thank you. Where's Ross? There he is, hiding in the dark. I see you. I just want to make a comment, and I just want to make a comment because that was really beautiful what you just shared about Chantel. And I don't know. I just want anyone to know what a beautiful family you have, Ross. What a beautiful wife that you have, and how people can love us as compulsive gamblers is just beyond me. They have to be a bunch of saints. I'm serious. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And yeah, I always appreciate your honesty, no matter what it is, good, bad, or ugly. We always keep it real. You've been such a great support to me in outside of the rooms. When I'm freaking out in the middle of the night because it's daytime over and across the pond, you guys. So it's good to have friends across the pond if you like to gamble in the middle of the night. That's my suggestion because there's someone who'll always answer the phone. But I just wanted to thank you. I wanted to just thank you for walking this walk, for always coming back, for always being as honest as you can be. And I really appreciate what you said when you were saying you were kind of off today and that, you know, you can only do, you're doing the best you can today. That's all you can do. And I really love that because I had a situation like that at work yesterday. And if it would have been 5 years ago, I would have been, oh my God, I'm gonna lose my job. They hate me. I had support performance. And the email from the boss's boss was, is Rhonda okay? They've known me 10 years. And I guess I wasn't okay that day. And I told them, no, I apologize and I'll do better next time. But thank you, Ross. I just love you and just keep coming back, okay? Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Rhonda.
So beautiful. Thank you very much for that. Frankie. Frankie, then followed by George. Welcome, Frankie.
Oh. Evening all, Frankie, compulsive gambler. Thanks for your share, Ross, mate. Blind eye, loads of similarities. Different journey, but so much stuff that you were just saying I could just relate to, especially down to the fear and the resentments and yeah, massive thing that I've become aware of recently. Now I'm on step four at the minute, and Diving into a load of the fears and that I didn't even know about. I didn't even know I was a fearful person before. I always just put it down to a lot of it was resentment, but I didn't realize how much of me is driven by fear, and my question for you is, I've noticed in recent times, little relapses in my behavior, responding to certain situations and certain emotions and stuff like that. And obviously, I'm aware of it now, which is good, and I can sort of nip it in the bud, but it does come up, but might take a little while. My question to you is, do you still have that, and how do you deal with it when it does pop up?
Thanks, mate. Yeah, and I went what you said about the fears as well. I remember saying to my sponsor when he gave me the fear sheet, and I went, I can only find one fear that I've got. And he went, what's that? And I went, wasps. And he laughed his head off. He went, don't worry, Ross, just keep on searching, they'll come up. And then, like, before I knew it, I was like, wow, how fearful am I? And I just didn't see it. But that's what I said, like, in my share, you walk in, I walked into this program with my eyes firmly closed. I didn't see. But yeah, do you know what gave me a lot of comfort later on in the steps when I read step 10? Because there were still moments coming out, and I got locked in step 4 for a long time, and I mean a lot longer than what I had to, because I wanted to know it all in step 4. That's what was my experience of it was. And I realize now I didn't need to know it all in step 4. I don't know it all now. I'm never going to know it all. Do you know what I mean? I've just got to continue to watch this stuff. But I got locked in step 4, and my behavior started to really unravel again. And funnily enough, a year to the day from July 2021, I was almost out the door of GA. I was still locked in step 4 a year later. There's a line in the, and I'll quote the big book, which gave me so much peace. You wouldn't believe it, because at this point I was still really quite lost. And it said that we continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when these crop up, and I was like, so it's not like they're going to be gone forever. When these crop up, it then gives me a list of suggestions of how to tackle it. And that to me blew my mind. And I was like, I'm never going to be perfect. I don't need to be perfect. I just need to try and stay awake. And when these crop up, I'm going to try and do this to the best of my ability. And that's it, mate. Yeah, it's a I'm definitely not perfect, and I'm no Buddha, but I'm here and I'm trying my best. Thanks for the question, mate.
Beautiful. Thank you, Frankie. Thank you, Ross. And then,
Just me wife has just been so strong for me over the years of gambling, and I mean every time. Like, at one point we sold a house, and the money for the house got transferred into my bank, and I blew a huge portion of it, and I told her, and she literally embraced me in the morning. I was still like drunk and on a come down from cocaine at the time, and I just gambled all this money online overnight, and our initial reaction was one of anger. And then she just embraced me, and she just gave me this cuddle like she always did, and just said, don't worry, we're going to get through this together. And she always said that to me. And then when I did that to her, like, I've probably done worse to her over the years, but that moment was just so significant for me. I don't know why that moment was, because if you'd asked her, there was probably other times that I've done worse. I don't know. But for me, it was just like, she was just crying, and I just seen the pain. It was like my eyes had just been opened to what this was doing to other people. Because even when I very first came into GA, I still used to say the words, it was all my problem. Oh, it just wasn't. It was affecting everyone, everyone.
Thank you both for that. Beautiful. Tony, and then Chris. Welcome, Tony.
Hi, Ross. Tony F, compulsive gambler. Thanks for your share. Really got a lot out of it. And I've been sort of lucky in the program in that I came in on 11/9/23, and haven't had a relapse yet. But when I came in, I jumped right into the literature. I jumped into doing my journaling and writing about things that were on my mind all the time. And one thing, I haven't had an urge to gamble at all. And I'm just afraid that it's all one day going to come tumbling back in a flood that I'm not going to be able to get out of. And I'm wondering if that's sort of if it's something like that's ever happened to you. And if, beyond the normal things we talk about, using the telephone list and so on, what did you do if it did happen to get yourself out of it? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, my only message is the 12 steps. That's been the out of everything that I've tried, up until this point, that seems to be the only thing that has given me the peace that I wanted. Before that, I was still not happy where I was in life. Although I had so much going for me, I see now, I just didn't see it at the time. Does that mean I'm never going to place a bet again? I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. And I know that I'm powerless over it. And I know that when I did gamble after being in for 9 months, it didn't. It's strange to look at it because it didn't seem to come as this uncontrollable urge. It just seemed to happen, and then I woke up and I was like, "How's that happened?" It's like I went to sleep. It's like. The big book talks about the mental blank spots, and that's what I can sort of relate it to. It was a mental blank spot where my willpower failed me, because up until that point, that's what I was running on. So my message is, and only ever will be, the first part of the step 12, as it's written in the big book, that having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message. That seems to be the only thing that's worked for me, and I've tried a lot. I really have. Thanks for the question.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. And thank you, Russ. And now we have a question or comment from Chris B, and then with Adam. Chris.
Thanks, Dan. Hi, everyone. I'm Chris, and I'm a compulsive gambler. Loved your share, Russ. Really glad to be here to listen to it. I could relate to a lot of it. You talked a couple of times about being present and staying present, and you talked a bit about fight or flight, and that definitely felt like relevant to me over the last. I've had a tough couple of days. My daughter's been quite ill, and I took Monday off work, and she was inconsolable in the morning. Like she's 15 months old, and I couldn't get her to do anything. She was, yeah, it was just really emotionally challenging. And she's been in hospital a couple of times. She's fine. It's nothing serious. But to me, I guess, as a compulsive gambler, everything is the worst possible thing. And the scenarios in my head are always the worst thing that could possibly happen. But I guess that my question is, when times are really tough, and your emotions are really charged, what are your tricks and your methods of staying present, of not being full of self-pity, of not being full of fear and resentment when you're in really tough situations, you know what I mean? In new situations that you haven't necessarily felt before. How do you snap out of that,
Yeah, sometimes I don't, Chris, if I'm being totally honest. It's tough. Sometimes when I've got a resentment, and I had one recently towards Chantelle, I don't want to leave it because sometimes it's their fault, and it is their fault, and I want it to be their fault, and I want to stay here for a bit where it's not always looking at me. It's quite easy to look at someone else, but that causes pain. I realize that now. That causes this feeling of the feeling of contentment, the feeling of being, the feeling of, I mean, for want of anything better, the feeling of being with God disappears when my emotions get the better of me. And I don't like the feeling no more, Chris. I really don't like it. Sometimes I really don't want to do what's suggested to get away from it. I want to do anything but look at myself. I want to do anything but write a resentment sheet out. I want to do anything but take some quiet time and do a bit of prayer and meditation and not listen to me head, but listen to me heart, because my head often hasn't got the right answer. My head often wants to, like, it still wants to point the fingers. It still wants to do this, but it says, I think it's a line of the big book. I'm not sure, but what it really related to, the spiritual axiom, when I'm disturbed, it's there's something wrong with me, and I believe that these days. So even when I don't want to admit it, even when every part of me is like amped up and angry and wanting to point the fingers at the world, I know deep down now it's been accepted. Like I accepted I was a compulsive gambler. It's been accepted, but it's tough, isn't it, Chris? Life isn't easy. It really isn't. It's really not. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Thank you both for that. And Chris, I wish you your daughter a quick, fast recovery.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Thank you. Adam, you're the one responsible for today. Adam, come on in. Welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to really to thank Ross for, as somebody I know from the program. The beautiful thing about when we get speakers on this meeting 3 weeks out of four every Tuesday, Ross was one of them that just said to me, "Yeah, I'll be honored to do it." And I've got from probably about a year I've been on online meetings now, and some of the learning I've learned from Ross in particular, as well as other members, but I do kind of remember that, I heard a share from Ross once. My first real, I think it was a speaker meeting, and you know what? It really struck me because, when he simplified the steps to me, and writing things down, doing an inventory, and you know what? I thought to myself, why ain't I doing that? And that helped me in my recovery. So I want to thank Ross for that, and thank him for being on the meeting tonight. It's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. Thanks to the program. That's just me following simple suggestions. And yeah, step 12 talks about sponsoring other people. I'll just share on this very quickly because I've got a sponsee in the room. And before I began sponsoring, I thought I was going to go out there and start saving people. And I can't even save myself. And I mean that. I cannot through falling over time and time again, I can't save myself. But I tell you what, it's a beautiful thing to sponsor someone, because you start re-going over things, or I start going over things and picking up on bits of literature that I didn't read that way last time because I wasn't in that frame of mind, and something else jumps off the page, and then your sponsor will say something to you about their understanding of it that'll broaden my understanding of it. And I'm here to learn. I'm not here to, and I hope I haven't come across preachy, because I know I have done in the past, but I'm here to just learn and continue to learn. I've been through that stage of thinking I know it all, and I fell over. I fell over. Sorry for going on again. You're having to listen to me again, but there was no hands up. Thanks.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you so much, Ross. And it looks like we've come to the end of the comments and shares as well. I really, really, really appreciate you being here and being of service to our meeting. And hopefully we come back and see us again. So if there's no other hands up, I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording. Give me one second.